Hello and welcome to the STANLIB Corporate Conversation podcast. I'm Charlene Kloon, Head of Corporate Cash Solutions at STANLIB Asset Management. And in this episode, I'll be talking to Ndibuo Nechitenje, our senior economist, about what the current interest rate and inflation backdrop mean for corporate cash. Ndi, it's wonderful to have you here. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Charlene. Thanks for having me here today. I'm quite excited.
Indeed, the South African Reserve Bank decided to keep the repo rate unchanged at 7% in July. I mean, I honestly was surprised by that. You know, there's a great deal of focus on interest rates, inflation, and Saab decisions. From a macroeconomic perspective, how would you describe the current backdrop in South Africa?
I think, Charlene, the simple answer is that there's a lot of uncertainty right now, not just in South Africa, but the global macroeconomic backdrop is experiencing exceptionally high levels of uncertainty and volatility. Like you said, from a South African perspective, the interest rate decision last week highlighted this high level of uncertainty because, and the reason I say this is because of two things. Firstly, the decision was not unanimous within the MPC itself. So two out of the six MPC members argued for interest rates to be increased by 25 basis points. Secondly, the decision was not in line with market expectations. I mean, you and I didn't know or didn't expect this to happen. But if you look at the vast majority of economists, analysts, and even the market itself, they were all expecting an increase of 25 basis points, especially after the June inflation numbers came out at 5%. So from a macroeconomic perspective, there's something sort of misalignment on how to balance the inflationary risks that are clearly present in South Africa's economy with ensuring that economic growth remains on track, at least at a cyclical basis, which means basically in the short term. So right now, economic growth in the country is slowing. Consumer confidence has fallen sharply. Business confidence has also weakened. And we are seeing that your manufacturing production, your mining production, and even your retail sales have weakened in the second quarter. It's also increasingly clear that the municipal dysfunction has evolved from being something that is maybe a nuisance for people to now becoming a serious constraint on economic growth. So at the same time, the recent inflation prints have been well above target, mainly because of the higher fuel costs. But if you look beyond that, if you look at things like your service inflation, there are conditions that are looking quite problematic for some of the components that are sitting well above 3%. And I'm talking about your insurance inflation, your transport inflation, and even your housing inflation. So you're seeing an environment where it's looking a lot like there's deflation taking place in the economy. And that kind of volatility and uncertainty makes decision making quite hard to predict and to see coming, I guess, from even an expert looking at this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, like, there are so many things and so many variables. I mean, what are the key economic indicators that you watch now in order to just cut through that noise and try and make the decisions in terms of where inflation and interest rates are going?
Yeah, so I think you won't be surprised. From my perspective, I think first and foremost, it is inflation numbers across the world, especially in South Africa, the US, the EU, and even China, and how that will influence central bank decision-making on interest rates. Now, this doesn't include just consumer prices. I'm thinking producer prices and looking at what they're doing is just as important because they tend to be early warning signals of increased inflationary pressures that the consumer hasn't yet felt. So just start looking at your PPI and how that feeds into your CPI is probably first and foremost for me. I'm also paying quite close attention to the PMI numbers that give a good indication or a sense of what the outlook is for economies, especially in China and the EU. Now, in terms of the US, the labor market data remains a vital gauge for the health of the economy. So that's where I'd sort of place my microscope when I'm trying to understand the US economy. When it comes to South Africa, right now, I'm trying to understand the state of the consumer. So I'm focusing on indicators like your credit extension, your unemployment levels, consumer confidence, and income growth changes, and how those impact retail sales and consumer consumption in general. And of course, manufacturing and mining production remain an important part of the economy. So we're also keeping an eye on that. But overall, how the consumer is doing and how that's going to impact economic activity in the country is my current focus.
And so, based on all of that, Indy, what is your outlook for inflation over the coming year? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but based on the current information that you have and how you see things playing out, what do you think inflation will look like?
Well, given the high level of uncertainty present and the fact that the war between the US, Israel, and Iran keeps re-escalating unexpectedly, we see risk to the inflation firmly on the upside. This is based on three main drivers, which I'd like to just quickly talk about. Firstly, the recent volatility in the oil prices itself is likely to add an additional upward pressure on SA's inflation over the coming months. This is not just going to affect our fuel prices, but as we saw in the recent inflation numbers, the other transport costs are also likely to remain elevated. So what I mean by transport costs, I'm talking about taxi fares, our airfares, our e-hailing prices, and other sort of passenger transport services are likely to experience upward cost pressures coming from the oil price movements. Secondly, while it's still very low and quite well contained, we are starting to see some upward pressure coming in from food prices. And in terms of the outlook, the SA Weather Service expects the latest El Nino to start directly impacting South Africa's weather patterns around October, November 2026. And this is important because that's around the time when South Africa starts their sort of summer planting season. So if El Nino happens to be quite aggressive and I guess big, it kind of means that it'll start affecting our food supply next year, leading to higher food prices. So that's also an area where we are looking at and expect some pressure coming through. And lastly, we expect inflation expectations to also start creeping higher in the coming months. Only because inflation has been so high more recently, people will start expecting inflation to remain high. And that could lead to higher wage settlements, pushing the costs in the economy higher. Given sort of under all these circumstances, we expect South Africa's inflation to rise further. We are assuming that it'll peak at around 5.5% later on in 2026 or early 2027. But the positive thing is that following that, we're going to start seeing inflation coming down and settling around the 3% target by the end of 2027. And with that said, we expect inflation to average 4.5% this year and then 3.9% in 2027.
So based on that, Ndi, what do we think that interest rate path is going to be? I know we kind of didn't expect the hold in the last MPC, but what are we expecting over, let's say, the next 12 months in interest rates will be doing?
Don't hold me on this because, again, we were wrong last time. But what we think the SARB will do is increase interest rates once more this year in September and increase it by 25 basis points. Now, some analysts also believe that another rate hike will happen in November, but we think that this will be contingent on how oil prices move from now on. If you allow me to sort of elaborate on that, if the war continues and even escalates, where oil prices hover maybe around $100, $120 per barrel, going forward, the disinflationary impact that we expect is likely to be limited. This leaves room for second-order effects to actually materialize more aggressively than expected, worsening the inflation concerns. Under these conditions, the SARB will likely hike rates again in November. However, that is not our base case. What we are thinking is one hike this year, and then looking ahead to the potential sort of, I guess, interest rate cutting cycle, we expect that to then re-continue, I guess. But the real question is the timing around it. A return to the rate cutting cycle is likely to take time to happen because there's still such evidence of high inflationary pressures. So what the SARB is probably going to be looking for is signs or evidence of easing inflation. If inflation continues to maybe surprise on the downside on a sustained basis, then we are likely to start seeing the MPC feel confident enough about the inflation outlook to resume the rate cutting cycle. Currently, we think that this will start in the third quarter of next year, with four cuts overall and at least two cuts happening in 2027. Of course, with that being said, there are two big unknowns that can affect this outlook. And that is how the El Nino affects inflation and how long this war goes on for and what happens to oil prices.
So I'm going to put a spanner in the works here and just say, if If we've got it so wrong and inflation is just really out of control because we haven't done that first hike, or the hike that we were expecting, is there a chance that we can actually hike higher than 25 basis points in one MPC meeting, or is that just completely a thing of the past, years ago, before your time, indeed?
Yeah, I
Like
could not remember, but I
50
know it
basis
did
points.
happen. It happened during COVID, right? And those were during times of extreme stress. And I think the SARB is likely going to try and steer away from that because that creates more uncertainty and more volatility than solving any specific issues. So I think if they feel like, and they probably never say this, if they feel like they've made a policy error by not acting sooner in this past meeting, what you might get is two successive increases and then a longer pause than what would have been the case otherwise. So not necessarily a 50 basis point increase, but definitely more frequent increases and a pause at a higher rate.
Okay, so I mean, let's bring this back to corporate clients, right? Because they're sitting on huge amounts of cash in South Africa, oftentimes not optimizing that cash. How should they think about this uncertainty? You know, when they're building a cash strategy or trying to manage the operating strategic core cash, how should they be thinking about this? Because I think if we're seeing so many variables, they, I think, also, seeing the impact of this and the decision making fatigue around, what to do with their cash. What would you suggest corporates should be thinking about?
Well, Charlene, during times of high uncertainty like what we are currently facing, there tends to be this urge by corporates, and I think that's probably even a global phenomenon, where the default is to ultra conservatism. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, South African corporates, I think, stand out globally for being especially conservative in how they manage their corporate balance sheets, choosing to hold large amounts of cash balances, in an effort to manage risk during uncertain times. That's definitely understandable. And of course, I'd also, though, like to sort of say I'd caution against it, or at least caution against it being so aggressively conservative. While a good amount of cash or liquidity on hand is prudent, it is important for your treasuries to understand that large cash balances that go beyond what is needed for their liquidity planning is inefficient because of the opportunity costs involved in holding cash. So corporates can be doing a lot better in terms of generating additional returns for themselves without taking that much more risk and still having relative, I guess, easy access to their funds by investing in appropriate instruments and appropriate funds that don't take away from their, I guess, liquidity management decisions or their cash forecasting ability.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in this instance, it's kind of where you bridge the macroeconomics and the treasury thinking, right? Is actually from a treasury perspective, is how important that liquidity planning is, cash forecasting, and that cash segmentation is so key to be able to match sort of what your cash segments or your maturity profiles look on the back of what is available. And as you said, indeed, I mean, there are options in the market and even in our business that are low risk bank only, but support those kind of cash buckets. So, I mean, many corporates focus on nominal yield, and it's really such a big driver. I mean, we see it in our business. 5 basis points is a lot for corporates. Why should corporates also pay close attention to real returns after inflation?
Yeah, I mean, this actually kind of links to my previous point where there's an opportunity cost when it comes to holding cash. And the biggest opportunity cost comes with inflation. Real returns are important because they show how your purchasing power has improved. So if the returns that you earn are below in the inflation rate, then in real terms, you're just getting poorer in terms of your cash holdings. However, if you can invest in a product that has higher yields, then your inflation, then not only are you protected from the erosion of your purchasing power, but you also get to improve the purchasing power through better investment decisions without actually having had made any real difficult decisions. So I don't know if you can allow me, let me just give you an example that I thought of. Is that
Yeah, absolutely.
take a company that has 100 million rand in a bank deposit, right? They don't touch it for 10 years because they're keeping it just in case. And over that time, inflation averages around 4% a year. That money in real terms will only be worth just under 50 million rand in purchasing power. So by just keeping your money in a bank account, earning at this point it's zero interest, but very little interest that actually isn't enough to cover that 4% inflation, you're eroding more than half of the value of you, the money, the cash that you're keeping. To prevent this kind of erosion, I think it would be better to invest the money in more lucrative investment funds that offer higher real returns or higher real rates, because then you are not only preserving your purchasing power, but you're earning more money without having done an exceptional amount of work, other than just picking the right fund that fits your operational, your core, and even strategic cash requirements and liquidity, of course.
And I mean, so, managing cash through changing interest rate cycles is not, it's about not leaving excess cash idle, or chasing yield without understanding risk. Because at the end of the day, we're not saying, corporates must now go find equity funds and things like that to try and, beat inflation. But there are options, as we said, available for conservative investments or conservative cash management solutions. But you can tweak, eke out, and optimize where the opportunity exists within your own business. So things that I think aren't great is that poor forecasting, not segmenting cash, not actually informing yourself around what is available, and understanding that those instruments or solutions, I think, can be, can result in erosion of value. So if there were three actions, Ndi, that every South African FD or treasurer should take in the next few months, what would you say that would be, those would be?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'm saying as an economist, so I don't know exactly what goes on. But from my perspective, and I think with the lens of the current inflation environment and interest rate environment, firstly, I'd say make sure your cash is earning a return that is above inflation. Not just inflation right now, but what expected inflation is over the next 12 to 18 months, because there is no point in hoarding cash if that cash will buy you less and less stuff every single month in the future. Secondly, I think remember that longevity matters. Financial markets will always have instances of high uncertainty and volatility, but there is nothing more important than sticking it out and not reacting as soon as something happens by withdrawing from fear of the market. Never fear the market, just find people who understand it and invest with them. And finally, I think try and look beyond the current environment and find ways to understand what the outlook going forward is. If you make decisions based on current factors, you're already too late. That is why it's important to have good forecasts, plan for different liquidity requirements, and try and listen to the experts to inform you when you're trying to make decisions around how to manage your cash.
So, I mean, I think the message for corporate treasurers is that cash is no longer just a defensive asset. It's an, in an environment of changing interest rates and inflation, cash does need to be actively managed. It needs to be appropriately segmented and invested with a clear understanding of risk, liquidity needs, and then real returns. So, Indy, thank you so much for this important conversation and for your view on this. It's really been lovely to have you here today.
It's been my pleasure, Charlene, and thanks again for having me.
And to our listeners, if you found this conversation useful or would like to learn more, feel free to reach out to our team. And don't forget to subscribe to Stand Up Corporate Conversation podcasts on our webpage for more insight. And until next time.
Stand Up Asset Management Pty Limited is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FIRES Act. This podcast should not be construed as advice.